Back to Tesh Matters with Jeff Boggs. Phone lines are open. Reach out and touch Jeff at 367-1240.
And we are back about 2 minutes before 11 o'clock, our Mellow Joy coffee time. My pleasure to welcome back to the studio Mike Tarantino with the Iberia Industrial Development Foundation. Mike, good to see you again.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Excellent. It's Friday, and it's a beautiful Friday. You are just out in the cool air.
I mean, let me tell you, this is great weather, folks. This is great South Louisiana weather. Enjoy it while you can. You know, it just reminds me so much of the, unfortunately, we weren't not able to have it this year, but it just reminds me so much of the Louisiana Sugarcane Festival and celebrating our great sugarcane industry. And you're really going to miss not having the festival this year, but boy, the weather sure feels like it's time to have a festival now.
Yeah, no doubt. Of course, the festival would be 2 weeks from this weekend, where you hope it to be even a little bit better.
Right, absolutely. And so, you know, folks, stay tuned on that. Highsugar.org, I know, is their website. I know they're anxious to move forward with the festival in the future. So, you know, stay abreast of that and what we hope to see you next year. But, boy, this is great weather.
No doubt. Chamber of Commerce kind of weather.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm thinking about them because Gumbo Cook-Off, and I know as we go around the table, we may have a report from them, and their hopes on the Gumbo Cook-Off, but hopefully they're able to pull that off.
Well, we always joke that, you know, whenever the weather, good or bad, I always lead with, hey, the Chamber of Commerce is responsible for the weather. So today, great job, guys.
Yeah,
you did a great job.
Right.
No, absolutely. We had a great IDF board meeting yesterday, and, you know, there are a lot of passionate folks that serve on our board, and we're just so happy to have them with us. There's a lot of guidance that comes from our business community and from our elected officials working together at the same table. And so we're just so happy to do that. And, of course, happy to bring you this report
once a month. Remind us again a little bit of what IDF is all about and the board that makes it up.
Absolutely. The Iberia Industrial Development Foundation is the economic development authority for Iberia Parish and all its municipalities. We're a true public-private partnership. We have a small staff, but our board is, we're governed by a board of 21 members, half from the public side and half from the private side. Our public side, of course, is made up of the parish president, all of the mayors, the port directors, Port of Iberia and the Twin Parish Port, the Acadiana Regional Airport director, the director of tourism, the superintendent of schools, representatives from the parish council and the city council on one side of the table. And then on the other side of the table, we're represented by many passionate private business investors, private business owners, business decision makers in our parish who are passionate about economic development and want to do all that can be done to help grow the parish and to keep it, you know, to keep it growing for our citizens and for our hardworking workforce. And so we meet on the second Thursday of each month at 7:30 a.m. at 101 Burke Street. And we, you know, meet for, sometimes it's a short meeting, sometimes it's a long meeting, depending on the topics of conversation. But there's a lot of great things that come out in that meeting from all of our partners, and that's what I typically report and bring you some of that insight today so that people can understand what's being talked about in economic development and where that information comes from.
All right. You know, I want to mention something that may or may not have come up in the meeting, and certainly it was after the meeting that President Biden announced a vaccine mandate, if you will, for any business that has more than 100 employees. And obviously in Iberia Parish, you can think of the school board and the hospital. That certainly would be there. I'm not sure how many others in this parish would qualify 100 or more employees, but the impact on COVID and vaccines and the idea of a mandate, how do you think that sits with business? I know lobby is not the real.
I don't. Well, let me just say, as I was watching it, I don't mind saying the first thing that came to mind was, frankly, is how can you force private businesses, generally speaking, to do that? I'm sure there are lawyers and legal minds higher than mine that have found a way to do that. You know, I think that it's a tough call for local business. You know, they want their employees to be safe. They want their customers to feel safe coming into their business and to interact with them. But, you know, it typically doesn't sit very well when mandates come from government in that way. And so I think it's a sticky thing and a tricky thing. But I do know and I feel that, you know, these decisions are being made to get us all to a point where we can stop this pandemic and stop the spread of COVID-19, which is so very important. We need to do, we certainly need to all make our own individual decisions and work with our primary care physicians and do what's best for our businesses and especially for our families. You know, there are always two sides to every coin, and that's probably the best evaluation I can give you. It's a mixed bag, but I think we all agree that we really want to get this COVID-19 thing behind us one way or the other, and this is one way I think that the Biden administration thinks we can.
All right. Let's go around the table unless there's any breaking news you want to announce.
Right. No, not at all. I think that we've had a great meeting yesterday, and I think a lot of great information came to the fore. We always start every meeting. Maybe back up one step. We're, in addition to being governed by our 21-member board, we're also a member-driven organization. We have a lot of business investors from around our community who are key supporters and key investors in our community. We want to thank them, and we do on a monthly basis. There are so many to name, though. Of course, we can't list them all here. So we pick out one business member investor spotlight each month and encourage folks to patronize them, and we thank them for their contributions. The September business member spotlight of the month is on promotional images. The firm here in downtown New Iberia, Rick Patu, Kim Holloman, and their staff that do public relations and advertising work, longtime supporters of IDF and really icons in the Iberia Parish community. We thank Rick and Kim and all their staff for all they do. So, and we thank them for their support of IDF. So promotional images is our business member spotlight of the month. We also have many commercial sites around the parish that are available and would be great for businesses to locate and grow. And so we spotlight one of those properties each month as well. This month's commercial property spotlight of the month is the former Tetra site. It's located on Emerald Oil out near Acadiana Regional Airport, right next to Norris International, located right next door. A great facility. It's being offered by Paul and Chris Jordan with Vermillion Holdings. We encourage you to check that out. It's also posted on our Facebook page, some of the square footage and some of the dimensions and the availability, and of course how to contact the Jordans to inquire about how to get that property. So it's the former Tetra site on Emerald Oil on the way out to the airport.
Trusted zone for industrial.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's, you know, Tetra is a oil field related site, but industrial, commercial, any of the above. We'd love to see some aviation activity there, maybe some aviation mechanic work kind of thing. But it's a great facility that could suit just about any business that needs a shop, an office shop, lay down yard, fenced in, secured area, a big turnaround parking lot. You know, part of it is concrete. The parking area, driveway area, just a really, and it's in a strategically advantageous place near Bayard Transportation, near Halliburton, all of those businesses along Emerald Oil there. And so just a great place to be, and we hope that folks will take advantage of it. You can't miss it when you go out there, and so we hope that you'd give the Jordans a call today to learn more.
How about relation to the new access road that's coming in?
Absolutely. So the airport access road is designed to create, of course, better access to the airport from Highway 90. This is part of the main drag, and it'll absolutely increase traffic to that area because it'll be easier for traffic to get there. I mean, industrial, commerce, 18-wheelers, logistics and transportation-style traffic. It's going to make it much easier and safer for employees to get in and out. So it'll be a great spot as far as traffic count as well. So easy access to Highway 90, which, of course, gets you access to all of Acadiana, and I think just a great place to be. And it's right next to the Acadiana Regional Airport, which, I just can't say enough good things about and the growth that's going on there. And so go get it while you can. I don't think, of course, I don't think it'll last long because it's just such a great facility. And so we encourage you to reach out to the Jordans today with Vermillion Holdings. And if you go on our website, on our Facebook page, Iberia Industrial Development Foundation, we've got all the contact information there for you to reach out to them.
Excellent.
Each month we typically have a coffee and conversation event where we invite a featured guest to come in, and the guest and I have a bit of an interview style interaction to learn about the topics of the day. That's broadcast on our Facebook page on Facebook Live. It's a great venue because you can ask questions. We didn't have a coffee and conversation in August, but we are planning one in September. We're working on scheduling something with Representative Boboye to talk about some of the upcoming constitutional amendments that will be on the ballot upcoming as it pertains to taxes. And
got an extra month reform to study those now.
That's right. I just heard that today. So that's going to be held in November now?
Well, yeah, I'm not sure actually which ballot those amendments were because there's two back-to-back. But I think second Saturday in November, second Saturday in December.
Gotcha. So we want to make sure that all of our businesses and all of our residents have all the information that they need. And so we're working with Representative Beaulieu's office to schedule that. And we look forward to bringing that programming to our citizens so that they can learn more, so that when they go and vote, which we encourage everyone to do, they're fully informed about what they're voting for.
There you go.
Certainly good news there. Gave a quick Hurricane Ida recap for Iberia Parish. So blessed here in Iberia Parish. We really dodged the proverbial bullet way on the, as your listeners know, way on the western, extreme western edge of what was Hurricane Ida. The folks 35 to 45 miles east of us and further east, of course, didn't fare so well. And so we've got a lot of those visitors in our community. And so we certainly have, you know, are reaching out to them. We certainly want to do all we can to assist them and welcome them to our community. We understand these are tough times, but we want to do all we can to assist them in any way that we can. And so there are going to be more resources coming out. I think you've heard Parish President Larry Richard and others talk about some of the assessments that are going on right now. I think once FEMA finishes its assessments, I'm expecting there to be some special programs that will be available for businesses. And so we'll make sure to continue to distribute all of that information and serve as a clearinghouse for questions and answers about how people and businesses can connect into those things to get back to normal. But our hearts go out to those folks, and we certainly hope that they can get power and facilities back as quickly as possible.
You know, I hate to use the term take advantage of, but I wondered, and it may come up during your reports, either from the Port of Iberia or the Airport Authority in regards to things, some slack maybe Iberia can pick up because HOMA's got some issues and Port Fouchon and all that.
Yeah, you know, we work together, and, it's never been about, rating or anything like that. But we want to make sure that we're open. We have fielded many calls for businesses that are looking for temporary locations at this point, so that they can continue to keep their people working and keep their business going. We're certainly willing, working with them to accommodate them and to make those business decisions that they have to make. Those parishes to the east are having, incredible problems with utilities and things like that. I hear more and more coming online each day. But the focus has really been on what we can do to help them get back to where they feel they need to be, and while at the same time letting them know that if we can help in any way, whether it be through services or locations or locating, that, of course, we're more than happy to give out whatever information can be helpful in that way.
Gotcha.
Moving on, I mentioned to them that IDF is – there's an award that Louisiana Economic Development gives out each year called the Lantern Award that is given to some of the best manufacturers in the state. And we have nominated Cane River Pecan Company as our manufacturer of the year to be considered for the Lantern Award. And those decision processes are happening now, but we want to thank Cane River Pecan Company, J.D. Regard, the chief nut officer right here in downtown New Iberia. Just such a wonderful investment in our community. They do a lot of great things in the pecan world, including manufacturing of products and things of that nature. And so we'll see how the award ceremony goes, but they've been nominated by us for that award. And so we wish them the best as we move through that process.
City Council just on Tuesday night approved some sort of tax abatement opportunity for them.
That's right.
Because they're redeveloping historic property or something to that effect.
That's right. That's the that's the next thing of restoration tax abatement.
There you go.
Good call there. So yes, Cane River Pecan is putting some additional investment into their facility there to make it even more of an attraction and to increase the number of jobs that they have at that facility. That's all surrounding what's called the restoration tax abatement, which helps businesses to recoup some of the investment dollars they're putting into restoring a property and bringing it back into commerce. They're actually going to be considering it with two companies. One is Cane River Pecan, which they heard at the City Council, and the other is going to be with a company called Restoration Assisted Living. There's a project, a a process in which they're looking to, Vermilion Holdings is looking to turn the former Regions Bank building on Lewis Street into an assisted living facility, and they're working through that process now. And so those are two restoration tax abatements that will be up for consideration in front of the City Council and will result in a number of new jobs and a lot of great investment in our community when those things get passed.
Very good.
Mentioned to our board that we have an ongoing partnership, a very good partnership with South Louisiana Community College. SLCC does a lot of workforce development in our community, a lot of workforce training. They do a lot in that space, and we've been working with them very closely at the with the guidance of our chairman, Mike Flash, this year. Mike is very much into workforce development, particularly as it pertains to electricity, but also in the area of healthcare, nursing, and increasing the number of nurses in our community, and converting, training LPNs to become RNs and things of that nature. And so we've been ramping up those meetings as time goes. Ms. Dion Vietar, who with Iberia Medical Center, is on our board as well, and we're working very closely on bringing a nursing program to Iberia Parish, and I look forward to bringing you more information on that as that comes together.
Whereas SLCC does do some nurse training,
they do.
But they do it in Lafayette or St. Martinville?
Mostly in Lafayette, from what I understand. We'd like to see that program, a program like that, here in Iberia Parish.
Sure.
There's just such a need for it, especially right now. And so we're working very closely with not only with SLCC, but with the Iberia Parish school system and others to put together a program. Everybody is very open. We just got to put together the details, and so the discussions are going really well, and hope to have some positive things to bring to you in the near future on that note.
Excellent.
I also mentioned that I was so honored to, speaking of the chamber, we were talking about the Greater Iberia Chamber of Commerce a few minutes ago, was honored to be a speaker at one of their recent sessions for the Firestarter program. Thought I would mention it here today. A lot of folks know about Leadership Iberia and the Leadership Iberia program. I'm a proud graduate of class number 3 a few years ago. but just a great program that the chamber puts on. A few years ago, they created a junior leadership program, which is called Firestarter, made up of high school juniors and seniors that are picked each year. They have a great program in helping build the leadership of the future, and I have an opportunity each year to go in and talk with them about economic development in the parish. Did that recently and was just so thankful for the chamber and very thankful to the kids there for their input and the back and forth we had and the exchanges that we had. There are a lot of young people out there who are passionate about Iberia Parish, growing this community, and what their future might look like, and so that was just a great session.
All right.
Let's see. We also talked about the fact that Brett Bayrard with Bayrard Transportation, who is on our board, is also going to be chairing a new committee that we'll be creating soon called the Business Advisory Committee. We're looking to bring in some additional business leaders from around the parish who don't necessarily serve on our board, but who have input they want to give to the future growth of our parish. We're going to be creating a committee soon of those movers and shakers that can that will be meeting on a regular basis to discuss topics and recommend actions for our board to take that they think are important from their individual industry sectors. So it's a unique concept, and it's our way of going beyond our board of directors out to the larger business community to get input there. We want to hear from everyone. We want to make sure that we're taking actions that are truly beneficial for the entire parish. And so look forward to bringing you more information on about that as well.
Gotcha.
On the Iberia Parish government side, we talked a bit about some of the drone. I'm actually a certified drone pilot, and we have a drone as part of our equipment. We've been doing a lot of drone footage in support of Iberia Parish Public Works, and we really appreciate the partnership with Iberia Parish President Larry Richard and his administration. We've been doing a lot of drone footage on drainage canals, drainage arteries, road work construction to show the parish council and others the progress of road construction. We're also doing a lot of marketing footage as well. So we showed our board a few clips from that, and we're really looking forward to what more that drone footage can bring. Because it's always easier to communicate with folks about what's going on in the parish when you've got a good picture to show. And so we're really excited about having that equipment, being able to use that in support of so many other great things that parish government, city government, and everyone in between does as well. Mentioned to the board that on a quarterly basis, I have the pleasure of bringing a quarterly report to the Iberia Parish Council to give them an update of what's going on in our economy, some statistics, and just to give them a little bit of an insight as to what the greater picture of the economy looks like here in the parish. Those folks have really important decisions to make as it pertains to economic development and growing our economy and improving our infrastructure, and that information, I think, is very helpful in painting the full picture and giving them some things to think about as they make those important decisions. Also, there was some discussion about the road work being happening on Highway 90 at Highway 88 and 90. There's some construction going on right there. There will be some roundabouts that will be put in that are meant to improve safety and improve traffic flow at that interchange. And also, shortly thereafter, which we've been waiting a long time for, but shortly thereafter, they are expecting to begin the construction of straightening Highway 88 in Coteau. Everyone knows about the curve right there in Coteau, and there's been a project on the books for some time now to straighten that out to make it easier and safer for traffic to get in and out. And so we look forward to that starting soon. The airport access road project is on pace. Of course, there's been some rain lately, but as Parish President Richard has reported here, everything seems to be on track, and they're making great progress, and we are certainly happy to follow along with that as well. Regarding drainage, there's some work being done on People's Coulee and a culvert installation, amongst a whole other number of things, and so I know there's a lot of work being done on the drainage side as well. Mayor Freddie DeCourt is on our board as well, and he got right into it. In his report, he got right into litter abatement. It's, of course, very important to Mayor DeCourt and to our citizens that we're doing all we can to abate litter in any way that we can. You know, it's very important to marketing of this community that we have a good presentation. If we're not taking care of our community, then who is?
Yeah.
And so litter abatement is very, very important, and it's something that city government and parish government are working for on a whole host of different levels. Mayor DeCourt mentioned that there have been some recent ordinances that have been passed to put some teeth into some of the things that are happening at the city level with litter abatement. He's been working very close with police and law enforcement on ticketing of those that might violate those ordinances. There's going to be a lot of there's a watchful eye on littering in our community, and what can we do to ticket or to cite those that violate those kinds of things, so that we're all more aware of what we do. Mayor DeCourt mentioned that, even small things like making sure that all of your garbage is put in bags before it's put in your can, before it's dumped in the garbage truck, helps, because if all of that trash is loose and it ends up in the truck and the truck drives down the highway and the trash flies out of the truck, then it ends up on our roadways. And so from small things to putting these items in bags that could be more contained, to watching what we do and expecting the same of others, I think will go a long way toward doing that. And I think that the city and the mayor are very keen on litter abatement. As a matter of fact, he told us about district cleanups that have been going on across the city in various city council districts. The next district cleanup is in October, and we hope to get more information to you as we get it, so that we can talk with the citizens about getting involved in that district cleanup.
Absolutely. I remember vividly, 5 years ago or so, you made it very clear one business chose not to come here because of a perceived litter problem. Yeah. Not perceived, actual
no,
litter problems.
Yeah, it's actually happened a number of times, and it's just something that is, I think it should be very easy for us to do. And that's just take care of our litter and to take care of our trash, and just to really present the community, the wonderful community that we have, to present it in the way that we know it is. And that's a wonderful community that people should be, where people should locate. And we want to make sure that we just pick up behind ourselves and just keep that front of mind whenever we're dealing with refuse and things like that. I also congratulated Mayor DeCourt on the wonderful TV ad that he and Tesh Growers Association put on recently, talking about litter abatement. It was just I thought it was a great collaboration between Mayor DeCourt and the Tesh Growers Association, our sugarcane farmers, you know, talking about how important it is to keep Louisiana clean. I think Morgan Lilla Romero had a part to play in that, our Absolutely. New Iberia Olympian, who we're so proud of.
And a chance to let her know that tomorrow. She's going to be at the Quarter Tavern, a kind of a welcome home party.
Yeah, well, look, she's been a great spokesperson for our community. Just so proud of all of her accomplishments. And thanks, Morgan, for what you're saying and what your voice and helping us to abate litter as well. Mayor DeCourt talked about, a little bit about the city budget that's being approved and discussed as we go through. Talked about his upcoming road program and some of the things that he'd like to do that he's going to be doing with a citywide road program to the tune of about $12.5 million worth of road work here in the city. Just that's a spectacular development and something that, you know, I always tout infrastructure development as a key component of economic development. $12.5 million worth of road work, while it doesn't cover everything, is a great start and a great we'll get a lot of great infrastructure projects done within the city and help us with economic development just that much more.
Now, looking forward to it.
Absolutely. And he also talked a bit about putting together the TIF district and the economic development district, which will support the Louisiana Pepperplex. Our local sports complex has been, you know, just a really important part of our community for a long time. It's time to get it upgraded and make it that attraction that it should be. And the mayor's got a great plan to get it upgraded and to move forward so that we can attract more folks here, more visitors. We can, you know, create better recreational facilities for our kids, keep more of our kids here at home. I happen to, you know, have been involved with the Iberia Soccer.
I was
going to
ask you about that. You're well versed. I know you had a son or maybe two were active, and you know, as you probably traveled with them, you went to different facilities, and you know, the competition for those facilities and tournaments, and if nothing else, just. You know, I can only imagine how often they go and say, why can't we have this in our home facility?
Yeah, you know? It's in soccer and in baseball, you know, that is certainly the case. It's a huge thing. There are thousands and thousands of families and children that are involved in what they call travel soccer and travel baseball. And it's really not so much about, you know, why can't we have what others have? It's really about the economic impact that these places bring. When you go to these tournaments and these sports complexes that are fully built out, there are thousands of dollars that get left in that community. You know, there are thousands of dollars that get left in that community each and every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be a really good economic driver for our community, for our merchants, for our hotels, for everything in between. And also, it would be a great example of our community. It would be right there at the entrance to New Iberia. It would really be a showpiece, and it would really show the rest of the state, actually, what New Iberia is all about. And so the mayor's taking some bold steps in that respect. We're certainly supportive of that and looking forward to seeing that project come to fruition.
You're talking about the economic development opportunities. Go to lunch on a Saturday afternoon in Youngsville.
Oh, my goodness.
And see how many teams come in with their uniforms. You just know that.
Yeah.
They were just playing ball or getting ready to play ball, and I was there once. I had three or four, and it wasn't necessarily the most pleasant lunch experience.
Right, I bet.
With four different teams making a lot of noise running around. But the bottom line is they're here, they're coming, and they're spending money.
And you know the old adage, every dollar that gets spent turns over in the community five to seven times. So, you know, you want to bring in that new dollar. You know, and existing dollars are great, and we rotate those dollars through the community. But new money, new dollars that are coming in from outside of the community are even better. And so we look forward to what that can bring. Superintendent of Schools, Ms. Carrie Laviolette, is on our board as well. She mentioned a few things. The sales tax, she mentioned that she gives us a report each month on where sales taxes are for that individual month. And, of course, that would be last month, which would be August, are the numbers that we're dealing with now. August sales tax numbers were down a little bit, but there's no concern there because last year, last August, the numbers were very high due to some audits that had been done by the school board, folks catching up with some of their sales tax bills.
So year to year it was down.
Right.
Was it any congestion down from just
very
last,
steady, yeah. very steady, as you know, to the month before. And of course, you know, we very much expect September's numbers to be a good bit higher with all of the folks in our community. So, you know, things are looking good on the sales tax front. There was no concern there, and there are strong expectations for strong sales tax numbers through the rest of the year. Of course, school has started. Watch out for those kids riding buses in the morning, and we're looking forward to having a great in-person school year. They'll be dealing with, you know, again, the school system will be dealing with, you know, what quarantines that may come and all of the things that go along with COVID mandates and all of those things, which we really didn't get in the weeds on. But we're, you know, it's a great thing that kids are back in school in person. That's where they learn. That's where their scores get good. And so we're just looking forward to it and hoping that, you know, we can have all of the activities and all of the good things that come from kids in school learning and learning for their future.
No doubt. Did she mention anything this Thursday? Well, they've got a normal school board meeting Wednesday. Thursday, kind of a public hearing is they start redistricting. Are looking at that.
Well, that hasn't come up specifically, but there has been general discussion amongst the board about the census numbers coming in and how those things will be redistricted. And I think that's a great point. When we get to the census, we're one of those organizations that literally begs people to complete their census form. Getting an accurate census is just so very important because it affects us on just so many different levels. You know, we talk a little bit about political divisions and where, you know, state representatives, state senators, congressional delegations, what all that means. But it also has a lot to do with things like the school board's business and how it allocates its dollars and how the school board is made up and all of those things. And so the census numbers have now come in, and now all of those bodies need to deal with reapportionment and redistricting and all of the things that go with it. So I encourage the citizens to stay tuned and follow along with that. And to remember that next time the census comes around, folks, please fill out the census form. It really matters on a whole host of different levels.
Just on that note, Thursday at 6 o'clock, the meeting room of the school board. It's a workshop to cover the redistricting process, recently received U.S. census data, and how the census data affects the current school board or parish council districts.
So. Right. Very important. So,
and wear your mask, they say.
Yeah. Something to keep
track of. Still got a mask mandate there.
Absolutely. Ms. Dionne Viator, the CEO at Iberia Medical Center, of course, is on our board as well. She mentioned that the Iberia Medical Center is working very closely with the Iberia Parish School Board in offering on-site vaccination stations at area high schools. There hasn't been a lot of traffic lately, but they're hoping that, of course, they're hoping that that'll change. And I think it's just a really good partnership between Iberia Medical Center and the high schools to reach out and to offer those opportunities to folks should they choose to take advantage of it.
No.
She mentioned that of late, and this was yesterday, that there seems to be fewer COVID admissions into the hospital, but the hospital is still packed. That was her quote. Fewer COVID admissions, but still packed. And so there's still a lot of adverse effects from COVID happening. And Iberia Medical Center is doing a great job of keeping up with the flow and the need. And so, you know, there's some glimmers of hope on the horizon, and we'll see how that all shakes out. She mentioned that they're doing a lot of monoclonal antibody infusion treatments. What I have here in my notes is anywhere from 25 to 50 infusions a day.
Wow.
And so that's either the same or the next day. They've utilized their parking lot and tents and a whole host of creative ways to get people the treatments that they need without putting them inside the hospital building. And so they're just doing a great job of response. And they've got some great physicians.
MASH unit.
They've got some great physicians and nurses at Iberia Medical Center that are doing just yeoman's work, and we're just so proud of what they're doing to keep our community safe and healthy. Ms. Viator talked a bit about RN recruitment. We talked a bit before about SLCC and what we're trying to do to get, you know, to create an LPN to RN program. The hospital is very keen on recruiting more registered nurses due to the need. They're offering significant signing bonuses now. I could have sworn I heard them say you get a $20,000 signing bonus to sign on and to commit to Iberia Medical Center for a period of time. And so Folks, if you're out there and you've got those kinds of skills, Iberia Medical Center wants to talk to you. I'd say call them today and find out about the wonderful working atmosphere at Iberia Medical Center. We'd love to have you here in Iberia Parish. Back to the COVID effect, full census, and so no elective surgeries with an overnight stay are being scheduled for the next couple of weeks. And, you know, that's just a result of the fact that the hospital is full. And so we hope we can get to a point very soon where we can bring those numbers down so that elective surgeries can begin being scheduled again. She talked a bit about hospital growth and, of course, made the announcement that Dr. Tyler Hebert has been recruited to come into our community. He's a family practice physician, general practitioner, and so we'd like to welcome Dr. Hebert to the community. Thanks for being here, and thanks for coming and joining our community. Looking forward to a successful medical practice with you, and looking forward to meeting you along the way. And they're also very close to recruiting a new medical oncologist to the area. I won't mention the doctor's name yet in case things don't quite work out, although I think they will. But they're looking forward to welcoming a new medical oncologist very soon. And so hopefully next month I can give you that name as well. But the good, you know, it just is a good illustration of the fact that the hospital is continuing to recruit good quality physicians in our community that give good quality medical care. You know, I keep touting Iberia Parish as a medical and healthcare destination for the communities around it. And these are just more reasons why that's certainly the case. She also mentioned that the emergency room expansion project is ongoing, taking a little bit more time than they thought, but they're hoping to be able to open the new emergency room at the North Campus, which is on Lewis Street, very soon. And so looking forward to the announcement when that accreditation happens and that certification happens so that more emergency room services can be located here in our community. It'll be a great day, and I know we'll be happy to announce it when it happens.
Yeah, and more than just more capacity, but you know, closer for some people.
Absolutely.
And maybe save a life.
Absolutely. You know. I'm just excited that that more and more people are choosing to keep their medical care here in Iberia Parish First. We talk about shopping Iberia Parish First on a regular basis. I wish we could come up with a catchy way of saying, get your health care in Iberia Parish First. I mean, there's just so many things. It's the right care right here was a tagline that was used not so long ago. And so we just appreciate folks keeping their medical care here closely. And the fact that they're opening these new facilities, I think, is certainly a result of that.
Yeah, we've said it before. That's shopping at home, too.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Rob Cohen is our representative from the Greater Iberia Chamber of Commerce. We're so happy that Rob can join us monthly to give us an update of what's happening at the chamber. Of course, first thing out of the gate was we welcomed the new chamber CEO, Thomas Falgu. Tommy has been a fixture in the community for many years. I personally remember the Falgu family from the swimming program at City Park, and Thomas has worked with the Boys and Girls Club and the United Way of Acadiana. Just great people, great family, and looking forward to working with Thomas as we move forward. The IDF and the Chamber of Commerce share a very special bond. We work together hand in hand, which we certainly appreciate, and it's a special relationship, and we look forward to continuing to work with the Chamber in a very close way ongoing. So much so that we want to support the fact that the World Championship Gumbo Cook-Off is on. And their committee met recently, and we're looking forward to celebrating the return of the Gumbo Cook-Off in October. Of course, you know, I guess everything is subject to change in these days, but the Gumbo Cook-Off's on, and looking forward to some gumbo, some good gumbo in October, especially with weather like this.
Oh, man.
Yeah. We talked a little bit more about Firestarter as well, and about the processes that the chamber uses to get young folks involved in leadership programs, which is so very important to our future.
Age group are we talking about there?
So it's the second half of your junior year into the first half of your senior year.
Gotcha.
And I think that was specifically done because, as most folks know, as most parents know, once you get to the second half of the senior year, they begin to lose a little interest.
Senioritis.
Right.
Yeah.
And so while we have their attention, which is typically in the second part of their junior year, first part of their senior year, we want to make sure that we get them. And these are two representatives from each school. selected by the school, by the principal of that school. It's really the only place I've ever seen where you got parochial and private students and public students all in the same room talking about the same issues and coming up with the same solutions. It's really just a great cross place where no matter what part of the spectrum you're on or what part of the community you're from, you're at that table having those common discussions. I just think it's a breath of fresh air, and they've been doing it for a number of years now, and so I'm always impressed by the group that composes Friar Starter every year.
Excellent.
And then we went to some quick economic indicators, just a few of the things that I'll bring here on the oil and gas front. And again, we go with confirmed numbers. I know that numbers fluctuate since then, but in July of 2020. We were at about $42 a barrel in oil and gas. July of 2021, $73 a barrel, which is significantly higher. Of course, it settled back down just a little bit. I think the last time I checked it, it was around $67, $68 a barrel for West Texas Intermediate. And so, look, it's $67, $68 a barrel is spectacular compared to where it was in 2020. That results in the number of oil and gas drilling permits in Louisiana inching up to about 42 in the month of June, which is up significantly higher. Natural gas prices are up significantly, probably about 150% over this time last year, which is great. And so on the oil and gas front, while we're certainly, not breaking any records, it's been strong and steady between about $65 and $75 a barrel over the last few months, and so we certainly hope to see that continue.
There you go. What do you know about the apparently the Biden administration has relented on the offshore leases, and I believe a pretty big one is scheduled.
Yeah, that's a great development. It's just not good for the industry. The moratorium, I just think, was not good for the industry overall. So happy to see that those leases will begin again. We'll see. And I think that some of the response that the lease sales are getting is certainly a good leading indicator of the interest in the oil and gas and what the Gulf of Mexico can bring as far as oil and gas development. We want to see more of that. We want to drop as many barriers as possible to encourage more folks to invest in the Gulf of Mexico and to get more of our oil and gas energy needs from America, as opposed to going overseas and asking OPEC to increase their oil and gas participation. So we'd like to see more American jobs, more American oil and gas projects being done by American companies. And so I think the first step, which was certainly a bright one, was for the Biden administration to remove some of those moratoriums. Which I think were very important.
Now they've got to put their money where their mouth is.
Absolutely.
And spend it.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you want to see more of those rigs, more of those packages, more of those ships being built here in the United States. And I think that that's something that we all ought to focus on. It's a global economy, but we want this American product to be extracted and explored by American companies with American workers. I think it's very important that we stay focused on that.
Very good.
So that's what's happening on the retail sales front. In August, we had 113 million in monthly sales in the month of August. That was down from the all-time record in July, but still very healthy and very much. Our retail sales are still continuing to trend higher over the overall year. And so 113,402,000 is not too shabby for Iberia Parish's overall retail sales. And we encourage people to continue to shop locally. A couple of other quick statistics to give you. Our unemployment rate came down as expected in July. In July of 2020, it was 11.33% as we were still in lockdown or just coming out of lockdown. In July of 2021, which is the latest confirmed figures, it's dropped to 7.9%. As I mentioned to you last month, it ticks up just a little bit in January and just a little bit in June. In January, our unemployment rate ticks up a bit as sugarcane harvest season is finishing, and in June it ticks up a little bit as students who were in school now enter the workforce. But it's starting to come down. And so 7.9%, if you look at it on our website at iberiabiz.org, there's a section called Economic Indicators, and I encourage folks to go check that out. If you look at it graphically, it's been a steady decrease in our unemployment rate over the year, and that's certainly healthy and bodes well for the rest of this year.
Excellent.
And finally, the last statistic I can give you, if I would hit the right button here, is the airport operations at the Acadiana Regional Airport. Airport operations are steadily increasing graphically over the last year. We're up about close to 1,500 operations from this time last year. Military traffic is back. Helicopter traffic is back. Mr. Mosanji, the new director at the airport, has been very pleased with that. And so, just good signs that things are continuing to improve. Again, no one's breaking any records, but good, steady improvement over the year, and a lot of good reasons to think that the new year will bring even more.
Very good. Anything else you want to share today?
Not today, Jeff. Just always happy to be here to share with you and your listeners. So pleased and happy that 107.5 FM is such a wonderful communication piece for our community, and always happy to be here with you.